It's time for the Artist Friends Podcast.
Hi, I'm Diane Hunt. I'm an impressionist realist painter connecting with nature through my brush. I work in oil paint and watercolor, and I live in the countryside of Maryland's Eastern Shore, not far from the Chesapeake Bay. You can find me online at dianehuntstudio.com and on Facebook and Instagram at Diane Hunt Studio.
Hi, I'm Constance Brosnan of Steve Brosnan's Jewelry Designs. I live in Oklahoma on a prairie. And I make handmade jewelry in silver, copper, and brass. I'm an artist that paints. I paint pastels and in oil sometimes.
Hello, this is Clyde J. Kale. I'm the host of this podcast. I am a emerging representational artist. I do historic renderings, seascapes, landscapes, botanicals, birds, and whatnot. Tight illustrative hand in watercolor, pen and ink, and acrylic paints. And I live in Oklahoma City. And hello, this is Clyde J. Kale, and you are listening to the Artist Friends Podcast. Tonight, we're on a Tuesday. Normally, we meet on Mondays, but I had a power failure. A serious ice storm came through the Oklahoma City metro area, and I was without power for about 8 hours, right when the time when we do the recording. So we are here on Tuesday, October the 27th, for the last episode for the month of October. And I am here. This is episode 68. Of the Artist Friends Podcast. And I am here with my two best artist friends, Diane Hunt and Constance Bronson. Hello, Diane.
Hi, Clyde. Hi, Constance. Hello, everyone.
And hello, Constance.
Hi, Clyde. Hi, Diane. Hello, everybody.
Welcome to the podcast. And thank you, too, for keeping me company, especially now that it's gotten cold. Winter has hit Oklahoma City. Hit us hard. I didn't even have my furnace turned on this yet. But,
yeah.
And I'm lucky that I'm still able to broadcast tonight. We're able to record this tonight because all around me there's power outages. So I really feel for those people. So I hope they've been posting with their phones on Facebook. And I'm wishing the best that they stay warm and stay safe. Okay. This week, the theme for this episode is artist community and artists getting lonely. And I think we, the three of us, we qualify for that because after, last week, our special tribute to Paul Klein, it was Paul Klein that kind of brought us together. But if we had not decided to continue meeting, at least in our respective parts of the world, I think we would be lonely, solo, sorrowful, sad artists. What do you think, Diane? You think that would be the case?
Well, I don't know that I ever have that problem with feeling lonely because I do like being by myself normally anyway, but it definitely is nice having other artists, friends to talk with and, people that understand like the things you deal with and, things that happen to you. And when you get new instruments or whatever, somebody else that can understand your excitement.
I know
things like that.
You two were just all giddy about how, how excited I was a year ago when I got me some new paints, you know. And afterwards, I thought, God, I made a fool out of myself, you know.
We totally get it.
We understand. That's the thing. It's nice to have somebody that understands, because most people around you, you know, if they're not artists, they don't get it.
No.
Nope. I got a new tool in today. I bought an antique tack hammer. So I'm going to try doing the canvases with tacks. And
oh, you're going to, so you're going to go ahead and stretch your own canvas then. You're going to start.
Well, I've been stretching them myself for years, but I haven't stretched them with copper nails or copper tacks. And I've been using a staple gun all this time. So I thought I would try using copper tacks and rabbit skin glue and the other stuff that you make with rabbit skin glue to prepare the canvases with, to see if I like that or not. So calcium carbonate. Then you tone them down and I was going to try that out and see if I liked it.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if I'm
really the rabbit skin glue is just like Jell-O, except no flavor or anything. It's just, I guess it's done. It's gelatin is what it is.
Why have you tried to
peel off the fabric, huh?
You said flavor. Why did you taste some?
No, I didn't taste it, but I know that it's like jelly because I didn't use it all. I put it in the refrigerator, and it looks like Jell-O with nothing in it.
It's kind of like glue, you know.
Yeah. So yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I used to do that years ago. I haven't used rabbit skin glue lately, but I used to do a lot of that years ago.
Wow. Well,
I've got one prepared with rabbit skin glue. All I have to do now is to make the other with the calcium carbonate and put layers of that on. So
for our listeners, this is what I'm talking about when I said our community. I mean, we're all excited. I mean, some of you non-artist listeners are saying, why are they talking about rabbit skin glue? Well, no, for an artist, that's exciting stuff. Me personally,
yeah, it's an old master's procedure for getting your canvases ready to paint on. And I've always either bought them pre-primed or else I've stretched them myself and primed them myself, but with the acrylic gesso. And this is a different method. And I understood from listening to some other people that it's a really nice surface to paint on when you do it that way. So I thought I'd try it out and see if I like it. You know,
it is nice to work on.
Because I've started toning my canvases all the time, which is something I never used to do. I used to just paint right onto a white canvas and never tone it down before I started painting it. But I like toning it down now before I paint. I know you can get some pre-toned, but it's just kind of neat to just do it yourself, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and in case anybody doesn't know about the rabbit skin glue thing, especially with oil paint, you want to seal the surface so that the oil from the paint doesn't deteriorate the canvas. Right. That's the whole idea behind using the rabbit skin glue and the gesso and stuff. It's like a barrier for your paint between your paint and the canvas.
Hmm. Okay. I think this is fantastic because I remember 2 years ago. Yeah, about 2 years ago when, you know, Constance, she was really heavy into her jewelry making. She kept saying, I want to get back into oil painting. It's like every other episode, she would say, I'm going to get back into oil painting. And then she got into pastels, and she was doing with the pastels. But I'm going to get back into oil painting. And look what happened.
Now she's back into oil painting.
Now she's full blown, and she has been doing some fantastic art, folks. Let me tell you, you ought to go to what's that? The site?
Daily Paint Works?
Yeah, that's the site.
Daily Paint Works.
I'm
starting to get things uploaded there. Yes.
And you just
type in my name.
And you'll find me. See some of the stuff that she's doing. She's really doing some fantastic work. So
I have some pastels on there too. So I go back and forth.
So when I talk about community, this look what we're doing. I mean, we're really meeting each week, you know, because I remember vividly, you know, she was talking about it, and both me and Diane, you know, were saying, well, you ought to do it. Yes. You know, and then
it helps having the encouragement.
It does.
And then
help
my journey, I remember vividly my journey about, I was wanting to get back into oil painting. I mean, I was doing acrylic and I was doing watercolors, you know, and my whole rationale for doing that was because they're non-toxic and, you know, I won't intoxicate myself in my small apartment. And then Diane said, well, why don't you use walnut oil? And I was like, what? And she told me all about the walnut oil paints. And then so after that night, after that session, I got online and I looked it up. I said, oh my God, these are wonderful. And I found,
you know, there's just a whole world of new products out there. Yes. To be used.
So then this last year, what was it? I think last year, it was coming up this
about
time.
About a year ago. Yeah.
It was Black Friday. I got me my first set from the M. Graham company of walnut oil paints. Okay. And then I got me the walnut oil for cleaning the brushes and the walnut alkyd, you know, as a medium. And then it wasn't what I held on to them for like 3 months. And these two kept saying, when are you going to, you know, start painting, you know? Well, then I finally did my first painting, but then the painting, it was fun and everything, but I had these cheap brushes and the brush hairs came out and I was screaming at it. Constance offered a solution about a vendor called Bucket Brush, or, you know, whatever. And so I ordered some. Now I have a set of professional brushes, both oil paint and watercolor and acrylic brushes, which is just fantastic. And this is all because of our little community, folks. We, you know, we offer each other tips and everything. And boy, I'm going full blown. And after our tribute to Paul Klein, when in the process of producing that, I was looking at some of the other videos when I did my one-on-one session. And of course, his strategy with the pulp radio art, where we came up with that name and the doing the illustrations based on my old time radio programs. Now I've reissued my pulp radio. I'm getting back into that. And so this is what community is all about. It's kind of like what on one of the recommended videos was with Raffi and Klee. You know, I know Constance likes those, that young couple, when they were talking about, you know, getting into your art. And let's see, what's the term they used? What was that?
Finding your greatness.
Yeah, finding your greatness. That is such a cool term. I mean, those two are not pretentious. They're just working artists. It's a real enjoyable to listen to them and everything. So, Constance, have you found your greatness yet?
I don't know. I'm always looking for my greatness. I'll say that. I think that's a process, finding your greatness, you know.
What about you, Diane?
I had a teacher one time that said your greatness is your uniqueness developed. And I think you earn that by doing, and that's how you earn that.
Absolutely. Diane, have you found your greatness yet?
Yeah, I guess I have. I mean, I kind of know what inspires me and where my process is sort of coming from. And but I mean, it's sort of an elusive thing too at the same time. Like, you're always trying to be better. And they talked about this too. Like, you go through these cycles when you're working on paintings, like, or any artwork really, where you get into it and then you think it's a piece of crap and then you're like, it looks horrible and you're like, give up and you work on it some more and then it starts looking pretty good again. It's like, you know, you kind of go back and forth. So it's, but like every painting is, you know, you're building on the next one you do, like, is built on the ones you've done previously. So, I mean, you're always striving to, you know, improve and all that. So
like Stephen Bauman says, each painting is practice for the next one, you know.
Yeah,
is it here? Yeah, I hear a lot of people, you know, they say, well, that's, I'm just going to practice. No, go full board, go put all you can into it, because then that is practice for the next one, you know. And this painting I finished up this last week that I took almost 2 weeks to do, which is extremely long for me, you know, when I was trying the oil glazing, the old master's technique oil glazing, I think I found my greatness in that piece, because what got me so excited when I finally decided to put like the, the seventh and final layer and touch upon it. I've got such a 3D effect and such depth that it looks like you can just reach your hand in there and grab that bottle, you know, off the shelf, or grab that rose off the shelf. And it just thoroughly excites me. In fact, I usually don't get that excited about some of my art, but that piece, it was enjoyable. There were stages when I was going to stop. I mean, I put on like the third or fourth layer and the boil. And of course I couldn't put on a whole lot because, you know, you had to wait for sections of it to dry. Of course, and the whole purpose of me doing that painting was to slow myself down, which I'm glad I did. I achieved, you know. So going forward, that will probably be, you know, my technique. I'll still do my watercolors. And I'm going to do my pulp radio art illustrations. But I'm trying to slow myself down. And I'm finding out that I'm able to find my greatness. Okay, that's a good point to take a break and for a message, and then we will be right back.
Hello, this is Clyde J. Kale, and let me tell you about something that's very exciting. My pulp radio art illustrations. Visit pulpradioart.com. That's pulpradioart.com. Prints are available for purchase right from the site. pulpradioart.com. pulpradioart.com. Each illustration is based on these fantastic radio plays, and with each purchase, so I can continue to broadcast these outstanding old-time radio shows. Please consider making a purchase. Again, that's pulpradioart.com, pulpradioart.com. Check it out. Let me know what you think.
Welcome back, and you are listening to the Artist Friends Podcast, episode 68 for Tuesday, instead of Monday, Tuesday, October 27th, the last episode for the month of October. And now, I got to put my glasses on here, because now this brings us up to a point of setting goals. And Diane and Constance will probably not ever talk to me again, folks. So if we don't do any more future episodes, you will know why I ticked these two off. I did a little bit of research. And what I want to do is about our presence on the internet. Now, following the Gary Vaynerchuk model, this is more for getting attention and branding. So by using the different social media and different services on the internet, that's what you're out. You're not so much as acquisition. If you sell a painting or sell some artwork, fine. But it's more about branding and getting your name out. So I researched some of the sites that we use, that all three of us are on, and Find Our America. So let's go with Diane first.
That's paltry.
On Find Our America, as of yesterday, Diane had about 738 visitors.
Oh, better than I thought.
Yeah, and on Instagram, she had 797 followers. And on LinkedIn, she had 94. And on Twitter, she had 90. Now, it's not so much as to embarrass, but what it is our goal is that by next Monday, she can pick whichever one she wants, whichever one is the easiest. I know she has a life and other things to do, so she can't be spending that much time, you know, but she has to have an increase of just 5%. So that would mean if she picked Fine Art America, by next Monday, she'd have to have 775 visitors. If she picked Instagram, she would have to have 836. LinkedIn, 99. And Twitter, 95. So she can pick, if she can get a 5% increase on all of them by next Monday, that would be fantastic. not only a 5% increase, Diane, but then next Monday we'll take a little bit of time and you explain what you did to get that increase on whichever one of those that is easiest for you to do. All right?
Okay.
Now it's Constance's turn.
Apes.
Find Our America. Constance had 1,509 visitors as of yesterday. On Instagram, she had 623 followers. On LinkedIn, she had 112 followers, connections. And on Twitter, she had 190. I didn't even know she was on Twitter until tonight, she told me. So, and of course, a 5% increase would be, you know, just increase whichever one you want. On all of them, be fine. But, hey, pick whichever one you want that you have the easiest that you know how. But then you've got to explain what you did to get that increase. Now, either you bribed, you sent some money, or whatever. Yeah. Or contacted all your friends that, hey, I'm in this contest. I got to win. Whatever it takes. All right? Okay. Now it's Clyde. I know you two hate to hear me, but hey, I got a crow. I find Our America because I consider it as my main site, which is why my numbers are so high. I have 47,861 visitors.
You have the hardest work to do then, don't you?
Then by next week, then I've got to have at least 50,000, a little over 50,000 with a 5% increase. My Instagram, I have 1,237. So I got to have like 1,298 by next week if I choose that. LinkedIn, I have 1,721. So with a 5% increase, it'd be 1,807. And Twitter is 2,774. So I got to have a 2,913 for a 5% increase. Now, I almost wasn't going to include Twitter because Twitter, I've had it, of all the social media, I've had it the longest because I used it from our internet radio station. Yeah, I was on Twitter when it first came out, which is how I built up that 2,000. It's interesting, 2,774, and it goes up and down. Sometimes up to as high, it's been up to as high as 2,800, and then it's dropped. So, you know, Twitter goes off and on. And all I do with Twitter is I just post information about my radio station. And I have, every time I post an image on Instagram or post an image on Facebook, it automatically goes to Twitter, or when I post on one of my sites, you know, it automatically goes to Twitter. So, and ArtPal, which I didn't even include on here, I forgot all about ArtPal because I know Constance uses ArtPal.com. ArtPal does a really good job. They automatically post on Twitter all the time and Facebook and, you know, whatnot.
Yeah, they do.
Now, I didn't include Facebook in here because Facebook is how we use to get visitors to these other sites. At least that's what I do. Anything I post on Facebook, that's how I push them to my other sites. But that's just one method. So that's our challenge for next week is one of these. And you guys don't even have to tell me. I'll just look them up before next week. like I did this time. I just looked it up on the internet. I found just, yeah. And when I was looking at poor Diane, I was shaking my head. I said, Diane, come on.
Diane runs a big farm, though. That's kind
of... I know, you know, but she really, she's got to get the word. Her art is so good out there that it's not going to, remember that movie years ago, that baseball movie, and it said, if you build it, they will come. Diane, if you paint it, they won't come if they don't know about it. Hopefully with you entering in that OPA, getting accepted in that regional, that you could really bounce off that and increase your presence on the other sites by posting about that. I mean, I noticed, I think you only had something on Facebook about it once, and it looked like you did something on Instagram, but you didn't put it on the other sites. It's like, oh my God, Diane, you just...
It should have been on Twitter too, because they usually send it to Twitter when I
maybe I saw something about
it. I don't get on Twitter, and I don't do anything on Twitter really, other than that.
Well, Twitter is so mean.
LinkedIn's the same way.
Twitter is a Twitter is just a sinkhole of evil. I mean, it really is.
I've never really understood Twitter, and I never really got into using it. So
yeah,
I'm that way with Pinterest.
Over the top of my head most of the time.
Pinterest is way over, and I really ought to be active on Pinterest. And I have so many people say so many good things about it, but Pinterest, I've never really been able to utilize it that well.
No, I do Pinterest a lot. Well, not a lot, but I do post things on Pinterest a lot.
Yeah. But Twitter basically is a follow per follow. It's like you go on and follow a bunch of people, and then they follow you back. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Kind of like the way Instagram does in a way. But the only problem is on what's called your feed, then depending on who you follow, you're getting all kinds of crap in there.
Right. Yeah, crazy stuff.
Yeah. Now, like on Instagram, I've been going back to, we had a discussion, folks, before we recorded, and it made a lot of sense based upon a couple podcasts back when we had that one fellow who was giving some advice on Instagram, that Instagram and Facebook pretty much works this way, that they have a tendency, based upon the types of followers that you have, they will send that recommendation to you. So it's a good idea to go through and prune your followers so that you're only having people that are really possibly interested in your art and everything. So I've been on my Instagram, I've been doing that, going back and pruning actively, and it's it seems to be working, because before I started pruning them, and before I don't post as often. They recommend you post every day. Well, I was posting like one image every once a week if I'm lucky. But now I've tried to increase my posting, and at the same time pruning, I went from 1,220 something up to where I'm at now. So it's slowly building back up, and that's a way of doing it. So next week we will talk about all that. All right. So if we don't have anything else to discuss, anything coming up here?
Mm-mm.
No.
I just have to send out my painting this week. It's kind of like sticking your child in a mailbox.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I feel about it.
It's going to come back in one piece.
Yeah.
Unscratched, undamaged. When I used to show a lot, seems like invariably something would come back with a mark on it. Either the frame or the painting itself. And it's just like, it just kills you when it comes back marked up.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully they'll sell it and they won't come back. But
yeah, that would be the great thing.
So, we'll see.
That's a key point. But I went to the OPA site and found you, Diane, looked at your, so I hope you sell it. That'd be
they've closed their open enrollment right now, so I'm going to wait for their open enrollment and enroll again.
Yeah, it starts at the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm. So yep. I have never enrolled there before, but I think I'm going to go ahead and do it.
So what's the dates again, Diane, when that exhibition is going to go on? And then we'll wrap this up.
The 20th November till December 19th.
Okay. So yeah, we'll have...
Like you said, you can go onto the OPA website, and the paintings are all listed there.
And this is called the Eastern Regional. What's it?
The OPA Eastern Regional Exhibition.
There we go. Okay, we'll have another chance in probably the first episode next week, the first episode of November, and we'll talk about it again in the gifts for our listeners who might have missed that. Okay, I think that's going to be it for this episode, and it is for October the 27th, Tuesday this time, the last episode for the month of October, and this was the Artist Friends Podcast, episode 68, and I was here with Diane Hunt and Constance Bronson, and this coming weekend is Halloween, and that's usually my biggest time of the year for my internet radio station. There's a lot of people that like those scary shows, so I've got a lot of programming to do the next two or three days to get ready for that. I usually create the shows, pick them out, and program.
You might get more people listening this year because everybody's going to be home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Not out partying.
Yep, that's for sure. So I'm going to say bye-bye to Diane and Constance, and I'll let Diane say bye to everybody.
Good night, everyone. Good night, Clyde. Good night, Constance.
All right. Good night, everybody. Good night, Clyde and Diane, and thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening, folks. Good night. And as always, give us a thumbs up. Give us some good star ratings, all right? Bye-bye, folks. And have a happy Halloween next weekend, okay?
Yeah, happy Google Day.
Yeah. Bye-bye, folks.
The Artist Friends Podcast is produced and edited by Clyde J. Kale. Participating artists, Diane Hunt and Constance Bronson, and Clyde J. Kale. You can find more information about Diane Hunt at www.dianehuntstudio.com. Constance Bronson at www.etsy.com/shop/CBROSNANS. Clyde J. Kale at www.cjkaleartworks.com. If you would like to participate or appear as a guest on the Artist Friends Podcast, please email cjkale@mystery-otr.com. If you enjoy these podcasts, please give us a thumbs up or a star rating. And most of all, send us your comments. This podcast is issued under the Creative Commons license.